Devlin Bishop here with you, and welcome to another edition of Devlin's Pirate Radio Show. And today I am so excited because we have got a special edition of the show for you. This is the 2015 Summer Movie Preview. I am a huge movie fan, and I enjoy summer because that's when they bring us all the big summer blockbuster movies, you know, that you can just sit, you know, grab your popcorn, grab your drink, and just, you can be in the theater all summer if you really wanted to. I don't recommend that because going outside is nice too. But if you're a fan of movies like me, summer is always a great time, and I am going to take a look at the big summer movies that are going to be invading the box office for the next couple of months. And I can't wait. I can't wait because there's a lot of great stuff coming out. We've seen some great trailers coming out. Now, there's about 86 movies hitting theaters this summer. I am going to be just looking at a couple of the bigger ones. Let's face it, I live in Hamilton, Ontario, and we don't get a lot of the smaller name movies. These are movies that I do enjoy too, but they're ones that I'm probably going to have to discover on DVD or just other different options, because we won't be getting those ones. So I'm going to concentrate on the movies that probably will be hitting theaters and the bigger names that will be hitting. And I will, you know, I'll give you my little preview of them and tell you if I think it's going to be a big hit or not, or if I'm going to check it out, or just anything you want. Of course, this is all about helping you form your own opinion. I'm going to also take a look and talk a little bit about what I love about the movies and tell you more of a personal thing. So this is really a big I love movies kind of episode, and I'm very excited about it because anytime I can talk movies, it's a good thing. So I'm going to break it up into segments. We're going to do the May and June movies, and then we will later on in the episode take a look at July and August. And in between, I'll give you a little nostalgic look of how I fell in love with the movies. And so, get your favorite beverage, whether that's, you know, water, pop, a little bit something extra, a little harder. And of course, grab your favorite concession stand food, like popcorn or pizza or whatever you want, and just sit back and thing. And if you're a movie fan too, you know, write down some of these names. Go check out their trailers. Go put it on your calendar if it's one you don't want to miss. And let's help you look at what's coming this summer. And let's get it kicked off with May 1st is the big one. Avengers Age of Ultron, the second in the Avengers series. And I can't remember how many. I think it's about the 12th in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This is the big one to beat. It's kicking off the summer. It's probably going to be the biggest movie of the summer and possibly the year as well. I am so looking forward to this. I have already got my tickets bought. That's how close these movies are going to be out soon. And, I can't wait to see it. You know, Captain America, Hulk, Iron Man, Thor, Hawkeye, Black Widow, a couple of new people are on board as they take on the villain Ultron. We're going to see Scarlet Witch. We're going to see Vision. We're going to see Quicksilver. It's just going to be phenomenal. It looks big. Early word of mouth is really positive on this movie. It's action-packed. It's, you know, got some stuff. Josh Whedon is back. Sorry, Whedon is back. And I've always been kind of hit and miss with him. I've loved a lot of his stuff. And, but there's some stuff I haven't been a big fan of. But you know what? He kicked ass with the first Avengers, and he's back on board. Sadly, it looks like this might be his last Avengers movie. Whether that means he's leaving the whole universe, I'm not sure. But, it looks phenomenal, and I can't wait to be there. This is gonna be one I can just see me sitting in the theater just getting lost in, because the first Avengers was just so big and epic. And on such a grand scale, and when you have that many characters to juggle, Joss is definitely the right person for that, to develop their characters and stuff, and I just can't wait. So that's coming out on May 1st. On May 8th, we've got a couple movies coming out, the two I want to talk about. The first one is a comedy. It's called Hot Pursuit. It stars Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara. And this kind of looks like just a big, quirky comedy. It looks as if Reese is playing a... She's playing a cop that has to bring in a criminal cross-country. And Sofia Vergara plays that criminal. And along the way, they have adventures and they get caught up in stuff. It's kind of a female version of Midnight Run. When I see the trailers, it looks like it's also going for like an Outrageous Fortune. That was a Bette Midler and Shelley Long movie, that one of my favorite comedies. You know, I did laugh through the trailer. They seem to have a really nice chemistry going on. This could be a surprise hit. It's definitely an alternative. There's a lot of comedies coming out, but this one's kind of the first comedy off the mark. It could find an audience. I think I might check it out. Reese Witherspoon is, you know, a phenomenal actress, and, you know, although she's really great at drama, she has shown herself in comedies like, you know, Legally Blonde and stuff like that. It looks fun. I don't know. Am I going to head out to the theaters to see it? Possibly. It might be one I wait for on DVD or something, or, you know, if there's a matinee, you know, or something, I'll go check it out. It looks funny. You know, the trailers are pretty solid. Also on May 8th, Maggie is being released. Now, this has not been really promoted all that much. It stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and Abigail Breslin. And this looks like a pretty intense movie. The trailers are just... This isn't your typical Arnold Schwarzenegger shoot 'em up thing. Now, since Arnie's just got back into acting, he hasn't fared too well. A couple of his movies haven't really done well at the box office. The Last Stand, I believe it was called Escape or Escape Plan, the one he did with Sylvester Stallone. He's just an aging action star, and I think, you know, he hasn't had a lot of trouble. But I think Maggie is very different. Now, Arnie's also got another big movie we're going to be talking about a little later. Coming out, but I think this is the one that actually intrigues me the most, because it looks like a father who's protecting his daughter, who's got some kind of futuristic intense virus that's turning her into something. It actually looks pretty phenomenal, and Arnie is early word of mouth. He's getting pretty good reviews on this, and I'm kind of... This is on my radar now. The trailer is, if you get a chance, check it out. It is just, looks really interesting. On May 15th, we got a couple of movies pairing off. Probably one of the big showdowns, first showdowns, for opening weekends. And they're both sequels of some sort. Mad Max Fury Road comes out on this date, and this is... From what I've heard, it's kind of a sequel, it's kind of a reboot. You don't have to have seen the original three Mad Max movies. Now, I absolutely adore the Mad Max films, especially the first two. Beyond Thunderdome was okay, it wasn't the best. But this is the original guy, the director coming back, his name escapes me right now. Yeah, great movie preview, right? His name escapes me right now, but he did all the other Mad Max movies, and he is back with a brand new one. It stars Tom Hardy, Charlize Theron, and Nicholas Holt. The trailers have been absolutely intense for this. I'll be honest, when I heard another Mad Max, I was like, nah, I don't know. Then I heard, like, the names attached to it, and I said, you know, that sounds pretty good. George Miller is the guy I was thinking of. I did not look it up. It just hit me. He directed the original Mad Max movie, and he's back on board. He put this one together. It's got a great cast. Visually, it just looks absolutely ridiculous. Out of the previous three Mad Maxes, this looks way more like Road Warrior, which I think is considered to be the favorite of the thing. But it looks just insane and intense, and definitely one that I'm going to be checking out. Also on May 15th, it's going to be up against Pitch Perfect 2, and I won't lie to you, there's a chance Pitch Perfect 2 could easily beat out Mad Max in the box office that week, only because Pitch Perfect went on to become a really big, loved movie. It was, it did okay in theaters, and then it just kept staying in theaters, and then people picked it up when it hit DVD, and hit, like, all the movie channels, and Pitch Perfect suddenly became a huge hit. And it's really one of those movies that kind of grew. It was on the borderline. Is it a hit? Is it a miss? And then people just started discovering it. You know, it's Anna Kendrick is back. Rebel Wilson, you know, all the ladies are back. The trailers haven't won me over yet. I saw Pitch Perfect. A lot of people recommended it to me. And I finally watched it. And I actually enjoyed it very much. I actually liked the story of it more than I liked the comedy in it. As much as I find Rebel Wilson to be absolutely charming, I think the whole I'm fat and I'm disgusting and I love being that is fun the first little bit, but it kind of gets tiresome. Maybe it's because I'm a chubby guy that it bothers me a bit. Because she seems like a really funny lady and she tends to rely on that a lot more. The early trailers for Pitch Perfect, for me, have not won me over. That's not saying that it's not going to be an amazing movie, but, you know, I don't know yet if I'm going to go see this in theaters. I'll probably wait to see what some of my friends think of it, too, since it was my friends that basically got me to watch the first one. So, if they see it and like it, you know, it's definitely poised to be a big hit. Where Mad Max, I think, is going to be a big hit, but, I don't know. It could be either way. It could be those fans go out the first couple weekends and then nothing. I think Pitch Perfect has probably got a better shot of having more long-running legs at the theater. The next week, May 22, brings out a couple of interesting movies. Tomorrowland, starring George Clooney. This is, of course, inspired by the Disney... I don't know if it's a ride. I'm not up on my Disneyland lord. I don't know if Tomorrowland's a ride or just a place in Disney World. Obviously, it's not just about it. It's kind of like Pirates of the Caribbean, where it's just they take the idea and they make it bigger. This is interesting. I saw the trailer. It looks interesting. It's basically George Clooney plays some kind of scientist inventor, and he takes this girl who finds this thing to a place beyond the stars. What I like about it is the trailer doesn't give away too much, but they show so much visual stuff, and it does look amazing. I know a lot of people are looking forward to this one. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about this one. It does look visually stunning, but I don't know. I don't see the magic in it that everybody else sees in it. So personally, I don't know if I'm going to fall in love with this one as much, but you know what? It definitely looks cool, and I recommend you check out the trailer at least. And judge your own opinions. Also on the 22nd, we're getting another reboot. As I get older, I just kind of learn to live with these. I don't mind remakes, reboots. I don't mind any of them. I understand why they're done. And we're going to see a horror one again, Poltergeist. Now, the original Poltergeist, I liked, but I didn't love as much as other people. Some people are very endeared by this one. So when I heard there was going to be a remake about this, I didn't mind, because it wasn't my favorite horror movie. I thought there was some great effects in it, but I thought the story was a little weak. I really liked the trailer for this one. This one stars Sam Rockwell, and it looks like they hit all the beats from the original Poltergeist movie, but it looks like they kind of investigated a little bit more. The thing I remember most about Poltergeist is the creepiest scene, one of the scariest scenes when I was a kid, when I watched it, was that damn clown doll. And I have talked to people who agree with me on this one. And I like that the clown doll is actually a big part of the new trailer. As much as it creeps me out to see that doll, I'm glad it's made it to the thing. On May 29th, we're going to see a really bug nuts movie. It wouldn't be summer if we didn't blow up some part of the USA. And on May 29th, we get San Andreas starring Dwayne Johnson. And I'm going to say his name, although I think he's got a very small part, but he's one of my favorite guys right now, Colton Haynes. He was on Teen Wolf and The Arrow, and I think he's just absolutely hot. And I'll probably go to the theaters just to see his very quick glimpse in the movie, because just from seeing the trailer, I don't even see him in there. So I don't think he's very big in it, but I will find him. This is basically the San Andreas Fault finally cracks, and Dwayne Johnson seems to be in every important area to save people. It looks crazy, it looks silly, but you know what? Dwayne Johnson is so damn likable, I'm going to probably be there. On June 5th, we've got three movies coming out. We've got Entourage. That is the Entourage movie based on the TV series. I never watched the TV series. I don't know if you need to see the series. I assume they would make a movie that you wouldn't. It looks like the core cast is there. Adrian Grenier, Kevin Dillon, they all seem to be back. The trailer didn't win me over. Something about the show that kept me from watching it, and the movie just looked like more of the same. But hey, if you're a fan of that, mark June 5th on your calendar. Insidious 3 is coming out again. I enjoyed the first Insidious, but now that we're on 3, I don't know, I just get a little leery of... I like a nice original horror movie, but... You know, when it was kind of a serious toned horror movie and they keep adding the numbers on it, I get a little very leery. And so this one I think I'm going to pass on. To be honest with you, I don't think I saw Insidious 2. And June 5th also brings a Spy. I think this is going to be a good comedy. Here's two names you never thought you'd see together. Melissa McCarthy and Jason Statham. And this is basically, she plays a secretary of like a FBI-like agency, and has to go out in the field, and she's working with, you know, Jason Statham. I think Jude Law is also in this movie. The trailer looks pretty funny, and Melissa McCarthy, you know, she does a lot of funny movies. She's done a lot of questionable movies, too. But Spy looks fun because it puts her in an element, you know, if you're a fan of The Heat. It looks similar like that. But just to see her squaring off with Jason Statham, I think is worth the price of admission. A very funny trailer. June 12th, this is one of the big ones I'm waiting for. And it's funny because, you know, when they first mentioned they were doing it, I wasn't interested at all. Jurassic World. I love the first Jurassic Park movie. Not so much the second one, and the third I found enjoyable, but I didn't take it too seriously. But I have to say, with a cast with Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard, this looks really good. It looks like it is a sequel, taking us decades from the first one, where... I love the premise. Somebody said that they got the idea for this movie because of the fact that... they said that they thought of, there's a T-Rex behind glass, and there's a kid that's bored, texting. And this was the image, and that they have to consistently make these things bigger and better to get people's interest. And it's a fucking dinosaur. But that's what the world's come to, that, you know, we are just so easily distracted, and nothing excites us anymore. And the trailers for this look incredible. So you know where I'm going to be on the weekend of June 12th, Jurassic World. I was not excited about this until I started seeing the trailers. Although, seeing Chris Pratt again after Guardians of the Galaxy, I've been crushing on him pretty big. But the dinosaurs, the effects, everything looks good. And it has a feel of the first one, which is a good thing. June 17th, we see Pixar's newest movie coming out, Inside Out. Disney has big hopes on this one. I think Pixar has still made some pretty big movies, but I think they've kind of critically and have let fans down a little bit, because Pixar was basically just solid gold, and then they started doing like stuff like Cars 2 and Brave and Monster University. And I think the movies were still enjoyable, but I think they started losing their formula. But, and Disney has, on the other hand, upped their game with movies like Frozen and Big Hero 6. But word is, Inside Out, they have high hopes on. It's basically about a little girl and the emotions that are inside her body, and then there's emotions in other sides of bodies. It's just been getting a lot of good feedback. I'm still not 100% sold on it. My problem with Pixar is I think they've always been awesome at storytelling, and I love that they can put they can make kids' films that adults love too. But I find that even in their later movies like WALL-E and Up, that I think they've been concentrating more on adults liking them more. I still think kids get a kick out of them, but I think that they're so anxious to like get adults to really embrace them, and they need to get back to like the, you know, the big awesome movies that they did. You know, like Toy Story 3, I think, was their last really big one. I'm not giving up hope on Inside Out. I trust Pixar, but I'm not sold on it just yet. June 26th, our final date that we're going to look at before we take a small break. We have got a couple of movies, one really big one, and one probably you'll be looking for theaters for it. But I'm going to say it anyhow because I was impressed by the trailer. The big one, of course, is Ted 2. I absolutely love the first Ted. I thought it was funny. It could have been easily a one-note joke of a talking teddy bear. But I think they really found it. They found their pace, and it was really funny, and I like that they just stayed really filthy with it. And Ted 2 does not look as promising. I will probably definitely be in theaters to see it. I find that comedy sequels can be hard to do. I think they're the hardest sequels to do because you've got to find a way to make them entertaining but not hit the same notes as the first one did. And that being said, the trailer for Ted 2 only has some minimal laughs in it, so I'm hoping that they really just saved some good stuff for the actual thing. I like that Mark Wahlberg's back, you know, Seth MacFarlane is back behind this all. A little saddened that Mila Kunis is gone because she kind of brought a lot to the first one with the romance and the, you know, just not only her relationship with Mark Wahlberg's character, but the relationship with Ted. But you know what? It's probably going to be a big hit. They're going to really have to make it funny to make it as big a hit as the first one was. And the last movie I'm going to mention is a movie called Max, not to be confused with Mad Max that we just talked about. I just saw this trailer in the theater, and this is stars Robbie Amell and Lauren Graham and Thomas Hayden Church. And this is actually about a war movie about stress of soldiers when they come home. But what I like about the twist in this is that this actually is from the outlook of a dog. And I kind of respect the fact that they're going to try that. It looks kind of like it might be a little saccharine sweet. But you know what? I'm going to be there, not just because of Robbie Amell, because if you saw the trailers, I don't think he's in it all that much. But I just kind of like the idea of a war story, looking at it from the perspective of the dog. And that comes out on June 26th. Probably won't be in theaters long, if it makes it to one of the big city theaters at all. Just because it probably just won't, let's be honest. But it would be nice if it was a nice little surprise film. And I sometimes think those surprise movies in the summer is just as good as the big ones. Now we're going to take a small break, and then I'm going to tell you what movies mean to me, but then we'll be back with another go-round as we continue with the 2015 summer movie preview.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat.
The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
We are going to get back to the 2015 summer movie preview. I just decided, since we're talking movies, I want to tell you kind of some of my little stories on how I became such a movie fan. Not that it's important, but I like to share personal stuff, you know, and I'm going to do that right now. I fell in love with the movies starting at a young age. My father was older when he had me. My mother and father were in their 40s. That doesn't seem like a big thing now, but back then it was. And my father wasn't the kind to chuck the ball around with you. I was luckier than my brothers because of the fact that, you know, he was in the military and he traveled around a lot. And I don't think my brothers really got a lot of that time. And when he finally retired from the army and became a civilian again, I actually got my dad a little bit. And as I said, he wasn't the kind to throw the ball around with you because he was older, but he liked taking me to the movies. And in the 70s, that's what he did. It became our Sunday tradition to go to a movie matinee. And, sorry, didn't expect to get a little choked up here. I loved it. My dad would take me to the movies, and at first it was mostly kids' movies. It was, you know, all the Disney movies. We used to see them at the cinema theater on Main Street, and, you know, I'd see all the classics like Snow White and Pinocchio and the Aristocats and Jungle Book and, oh, so many to mention. And then, you know, other movies, we'd go to the Center Mall where they'd show some, you know, other kinds of kids' movies like Willy Wonka and The Wizard of Oz and all the Pippi Longstockings movies, which I'm a huge fan of. I'm going to have to talk about that one time. A lot of people don't get the whole Pippi Longstockings love that some of us have from the 70s. Anyhow, and he would take me to these movies, and it would be our thing. And I just have so many great memories of sitting next to my dad and just getting lost in the movies. And he loved movies, and he gave that love to me. And I even remember, as a child, seeing my father cry for the first time was in the movies. And I'm going to cry too, so don't mind if my voice cracks up. But my dad, we were watching Pinocchio, and he got misty-eyed when the song When I Wish Upon a Star came on. And, you know, beautiful song, I'm not surprised, but it's really weird when you see your dad cry for the first time. You know, he's always this bigger-than-life hero. And it kind of freaks you out when you're a kid. And I didn't say anything. And, you know, it was manly crying, so it was really touching to me. And I always remembered me a couple things, because I saw my dad in a new light. Not in a bad way. But it took a long time to analyze that part of it. And one day I'll talk about that. But the thing I also got was to see how touched he was by a movie. And I get that way too. And I loved all aspects of going to the movies. I like having my popcorn and just sitting there, you know. Even I try to watch my weight sometimes, and I avoid the popcorn because sometimes it makes me so sick when I eat too much of it. Especially something about that movie, Golden Topping. It just doesn't play right with me. But you know what? I love how affected I am by the movies. And then a movie in 77 came out, Star Wars, that was PG, and my dad wasn't taking me to them, and I begged him to take me to this, and finally my brother had seen it, and he said, Dad, it's fine. It's basically a G movie. There's some dark stuff in it. And he took me, and of course, Star Wars just blew me away. I was this little kid. And when I saw these smaller films that I'd go see, and then suddenly I just saw, like, this space, a ship flying over my head. I wish somebody was there to film my reaction, because I'm sure it took me to a new place. I like going with friends, but I'm not one of those guys. I don't mind going to the movies by myself, because I don't talk a lot through the movies, unless, you know, I'm sitting at home watching some bad movies with some friends. I might rag on it a bit. But when I'm in the theater, my relationship is with the movie. I might talk a little bit or say something like, isn't that actor that, you know. But most of the time, I'm just so lost in the film. And my father then, after Star Wars, took me to everything. He took me to Raiders and Airplane and Superman and so many wonderful films. And he started taking me to this repertoire I don't think that's what it's called, but when they show old movies, like an art house film, we had one called The Broadway on King William, and they showed a lot of the older films, and I started going to see movies like The Godfather on the big screen, Gone with the Wind, Casablanca. He'd even take me to some questionable movies, like B-movies, and just bad movies, and he always taught me that you can get so much even from a bad movie. And I get that. I watch everything. In a week, I can watch, like, an Oscar-winning classic to a big blockbuster action film to a small indie film to, like, just watching a crap film. And I love that I've got that variety. Some people say they're movie fans, and then I talk to them, and I find out, well, you only like science fiction or stuff. But me, there's not too many films I can't get into. If it holds my attention, it's there. I love the whole feel of it. I remember another thing I absolutely love is drive-in movies. I'm obsessed with drive-in movies. Even at a young age, I knew drive-ins weren't the best place to see movies. Just because sometimes the scenes are so dark, you can barely make out what's on the screen. But I just like the whole feel of sitting in your car and just loving it. The only reason I got to go to the drive-in is my dad never really took me to the drive-in that often, but my brother was in high school, and he always wanted to take his high school sweetheart at the time, Cheryl, to the movies. But the only way they'd let Paul take Cheryl to the drive-in is if they took their preteen little brothers with them, and me and Cheryl's brother, Brian, became really good friends because we always got to go to the drive-ins and watch out that they don't make out or do anything more than that. I think they did still make out because we were always put in the front of the seats and they were always in the back. But you know what? I got so wrapped up in the movie and just talking with Brian that I didn't know what was going on back there. And probably it was best I didn't. But I became love the drive-in feel. I just liked, you know, eating junk food and stretching out. You could take your shoes off, you know, you could pretty much do anything. You could fall asleep at the drive-in, you know. Well, you can fall asleep at the movie theater too, but it's a little more embarrassing. And I just loved it. And I like collecting little memorabilia of drive-ins. There's not a lot out there, but anytime I see anything movie-based or things, and yet my friends can vouch, like Mike and Corda can tell you, I can sit for hours and watch those old drive-in, let's go to the lobbies, and the show will start in 10 minutes. I love that kind of stuff, and I can just watch it. The food always looks so awful in it, but I love them. I collect them, and sometimes when I have movie nights here with my friends, I actually put them on in between the movies just to give it a movie feel. And as I said, I always knew drive-ins weren't the best place to see movies. I remember seeing Jurassic Park for the first time at the drive-in, and because the T-Rex scene is done at night, I didn't think the movie was all that phenomenal. Then I went to see it at a regular theater a week later and was blown away. It was like I saw a different movie. So I always try to pick movies that aren't going to be so dark or I really don't care about as much, maybe a comedy or a over-the-top action film. But I more go to the drive-in for the atmosphere of it. Now, I actually live about 10 minutes from a drive-in because we have the Starlight Drive-In right above us. Like, it's literally on a mountain right behind our building. And I hadn't been to a movie probably since the late 90s, a drive-in. And I talked to my nephew about this, and he was blown away by this just because of the fact that he was like, I can't believe, Uncle Donald, that you haven't gone to a drive-in in a while, and it's right there. And I said, well, you know, Mike and I went to the drive-in with some friends, and we had a good time, but I never think of it, and I don't, you know, I don't know if it's Mike's thing. Mike likes movies, but he's not a movie buff like me. You know, he has his favorites, and I can talk him into some, but you know what? I just can't picture us just going to the drive-in. And I hadn't been to the drive-in for about 15 years, and I remember Jonathan came and visited, and we hung out. And he basically said, I want to take you to the drive-in. And I said, sure, I haven't been in ages, and I'd love to share that experience with you. He had been to the drive-in once with his girlfriend, but he really wanted to take me, and he couldn't believe how quick it took us to get there. And the greatest thing about having a drive-in that close is afterwards, when you're really tired and you just sat through two movies, it's horrible when you have to go so far and you still have like an hour drive. But the fact that we literally can be home in 10 minutes. And I loved sharing that moment with him. And it's kind of become, he's done it a couple times now where he'll just show up, we'll hang out, he'll stay overnight, and we'll go to a drive-in. And I thank him so much, Jonathan, for bringing that magic back in my life. And again, I haven't seen great movies with him when we went. It's been entertaining and fun, but it's listening to the radio before the movie, chatting with him, taking in the atmosphere, eating food I know I shouldn't be eating. And thank you for bringing that back to me. I still love going to the movies. I like arranging with friends, and I know I've got a couple friends who are like already, oh, I gotta see Jurassic Park, oh, we should go see Avengers together, we should do this, that. And I know I'll be spending a lot of great times with my friends this time. And then there'll be a couple movies I'm just gonna sneak off probably and just see a afternoon matinee all by myself. I'll be off. And either way, I'm going to get lost in those movies, and I look forward to the summer and getting just lost in it. One of my favorite Woody Allen films is a movie called The Purple Rose of Cairo, and one of the reasons I love about it is Mia Farrow's character has a horrible life in the Depression, and she just gets lost in the movies because it takes her away from life. And even when my life is going well, the movies have always been there for me. Whether it's a comedy to make me smile, an action film to make me get wish I was there, you know, throwing punches, driving fast, you know, whether it's a horror where I'm literally, you know, biting the blanket that I put over me, you know, because I tend to try not to watch them in theaters because they freak me out. And I love horrors, and I like getting freaked out. But the world doesn't have to see that. Or, you know, just any kind of movie. I am so glad that my dad gave me that. I'm not saying he was a bad father, but he really didn't know how to teach me things. But some of the things he gave me may seem small to you, but to me, are absolutely huge, and I think of him a lot when I see certain movies, and I'm at that little boy again, sitting next to him, and I just love that feeling. And I know a couple times in the theater, it doesn't matter how old I am, I will have a moment where I think of my dad and kind of wish he was sitting there next to me. All right, I'm going to go blow my nose and wipe some tears away, and we'll be back looking at the 2015 summer movie preview.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are, anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do.
Welcome back, and we are here with the 2015 summer movie preview. And before we get back to talking movies, I just want to say that I like that I've just gone out and said 2015 summer movie preview. Because in my mind, I'm saying to myself that I might be here next year doing the 2016 and maybe the one after and after. Because I'm hoping this show goes on for that long. And that's just me. So, you know, I may only be on episode 9, but I like that I'm thinking towards the future. Even though we never know what the future brings. But we do know one thing the future brings. Hot summer movies. And we are now going to take a look at the hot summer movies of July and August. And we got some good ones. Of course, you know, by August, it starts to peter out a bit. But I've still found some movies that are going to heat up the last part of the summer. And boy, we don't heat things up more than on July 1st, when the second Magic Mike comes out. It's called Magic Mike XXL. Yes, that means extra, extra large. I hope that's what it means. Of course, Channing Tatum's back. Joe Manganiello, I can never say his name, but he's really hot, and he was a wolf on True Blood. He was in the first movie, too. Matt Bomer's back, and a lot of other great things. What I loved about the first Magic Mike is I know a lot of ladies who just love the dance sequences, and they're phenomenal. I could watch Channing Tatum dance for hours. He's just so smooth, and the other guys certainly are not saying that they're not good either, but I don't know, just the way Channing moves is great. But I know a lot of ladies with the first movie, they liked the dance sequences, but they didn't like the story. Now, what makes me laugh about this is I've talked to some men who were either forced to go see this from their girlfriends or wives or thing, and a lot of the men actually liked the story. I actually liked the story. I actually thought it did what a lot of movies like Showgirls and Burlesque and 54 all tried to do, and I think they actually succeeded doing it. The new sequel, I have a feeling they're just going to, all they've told us is it's a road trip kind of movie where they just decide to go on one last big strip thing. I have a feeling they're not going to concentrate too much on story. I think we're going to see a lot more dancing in it, a lot more chests and lots of good stuff. I don't think we're going to see full frontal. I remember when the first movie came out, I remember someone's grandmother went, and she was very upset that there was no full frontal nudity because grandma wanted dick. But come on, this is a movie, you know, they're not going to be whipping it out for that. You know, they might tease and stuff, but that's not what it's all about. So I don't really think they're going to even concentrate on story all that much. I think they're just going to do as many dance scenes as possible. And to be honest with you, I think this movie will do well. I think it does have an audience. The first one did remarkably well. I don't think the budget's huge on it, so I think that's going to help. I'm a little disappointed Alex Pettifer isn't back. I will not lie. As much as I love watching Channing Tatum dance, the first strip that Alex Pettifer does in the first movie is what gets me drooling. It was, like, amazingly sexy. He wasn't back. I heard he was lots of different stories. He may have been a little annoying to work with, so they just kept him off. I'm going to just not think about that. I am looking forward to Magic Mike. I think I've already got some ladies I used to work with who already want to do a night. And yeah, I think I'm going to be sitting in a big row of women that night. And that sounds like a fun night to me. So I'm looking forward to this. Counter Programming on July 1st is the next in the Terminator series. This is called Genesis. Spelled all fucked up just to make it look good. Now, I've actually been a fan of the Terminator movies. Probably not the fan that other people are. I love the first one. I think the first one is a sci-fi classic. I did not love the second one. I only liked the second one, where other people consider it phenomenal. I did not. The third was okay. And the fourth I actually thought was really surprisingly well. This fifth one, I've seen about 3 trailers for it. It is not winning me over. I like that Arnie's back. I don't mind that he's graying because they've explained, you know, that. But this, the trailer just looks so bug nuts crazy. Like, that's the problem with time travel movies, is they're jumping back and forth a little too much, and I think they're just losing it. The problem I had with the second Terminator was the fact that it pretty much canceled out the first trailer, the first movie. And I love that movie so much, I don't want to see a movie that cancels that out. The only credit I gave to the third one is that they brought it back in order again to make the first one be accountable, show up in the universe again. Anyhow, this one hasn't won me. I love that it's got Jay Courtney in it. Oh, I'd watch him do anything. He's just such a good-looking man, and I've liked a lot of the movies he's been in, and I think he's been one of the strong parts of a lot of the movies he's been in. But this one, I just can't get excited for it. I will go see it at the theater. I hope it's going to be one of those ones that I'm going to be pleasantly surprised, because usually in the summer there's one like that. I really do hope. Okay, on July 10th, one big movie's coming out. It's probably going to be the animated movie of the summer, probably up amongst the biggest movies of the year. It is Minions. These are the little yellow guys from the Despicable Me and Despicable Me 2 movie. I'm adding this to the summer movie preview because I know it's going to be a big hit movie. I will not be in theaters to see this. I'm going to lose a lot of friends here. Hopefully not listeners. Hopefully people will not stop listening to me. I am not a fan of the Minions. I like the Minions, but I think their popularity has just gotten absolutely crazy. I was kind of forced into seeing Despicable Me, and I absolutely loved it. I thought it was a really good story. I loved the characters, and I did love the Minions. I thought they were just incredible. But I thought the Minions were just a small part of the movie, and people just became obsessed with them. I thought the relationship between, I think his name was Gru in the movie, I could be wrong, and the little girls that he was taking care of was the charm of Despicable Me. And the fact that the Minions have basically just taken over this franchise, it kept me away from the sequel, and it is going to keep me away from this. That's my one $12 ticket is not going to stop this from being a big hit. I think this is probably going to be even bigger than the Pixar movie. I just think people love this franchise, and power to you. I'm going to avoid this one like the plague. Even seeing a Minion right now. I'm on Facebook, and I see so many like memes with Minions on them that I think I spend half my time closing them. They get under my skin. It's like if Willy Wonka came out and the Oompa Loompas became the big thing about Willy Wonka. Now, those Oompa Loompas gave a lot of kids nightmares. But if they suddenly hijacked the movie and everybody just wanted to see Oompa Loompas all over the place when there's so much more about Willy Wonka. And that's what I feel about the Minions. But you know what? Have your Minion birthday parties. Have your Minion. I'm not stopping you from having fun. July 17th, we're back with another Marvel movie in their universe. It's Ant-Man, starring Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas. A lot of people are thinking this is going to probably be not one of the big ones in the series, and if they have a flop, this could be it. I think it's not going to be as big as the other Marvel movies we've seen. But I think it's going to do well. I think the trailers are good. I think it'll do fine. I'm looking forward to it. I like Paul Rudd a lot. And I just want to remind you that last summer, there was a movie called Guardians of the Galaxy that was also part of the Marvel Universe. And when it first was mentioned they were doing this movie, many people said, what the hell is that? What? This is going to be garbage. It's going to be the first big flop. It has now become one of the biggest movies of last year. And in my opinion, probably one of the best Marvel movies in the thing. I think Guardians of the Galaxy is phenomenal, and I've got a feeling Ant-Man, I'm not saying it's going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy territory, but I think it's going to surprise people. I'm hoping it's going to surprise people. It could very well be the big first flop of it. I think it's going to do well. It may not hit numbers like the Iron Man movies or Avengers, but I think it's still going to make some money at the box office, and I am looking forward to it. Also on July 17th, another comedy coming out, Trainwreck. This is starring Amy Schumer and Bill Hader. Now, Amy Schumer is right now one of the big comedians out there. She has her own show. I think it's called Inside Amy Schumer, I want to say. And I find her very charming. I've seen a little bit of her stand-up, and it's very dirty. It's very real. That's what I like about her. And I think she had a lot to do with writing this. There's almost a bridesmaid feel about this movie, but what I liked about the trailer is it's actually quite nice because it didn't look like any gross-out moments. It just seemed like her being her. And, you know, the premise is just basically she was a girl who was raised that, you know, monogamy is not such a big thing. And, you know, don't worry about getting married. Just go out and have a good time, find your career, and, you know, get as many men as you can. And then, I guess, she's going to fall in love. I don't know. The trailer implies that she has a connection with Bill Hader, but I'm not sure. I like the trailer a lot in this. I probably will go check this out just because I am fascinated by her. I think she's very funny, and I'd like to see more from her. On July 24th, we get a couple of movies. I'm saddened to say one of the movies I was looking forward to talking about here has been moved to October. And it's a movie called Pan, so I won't talk about it too much, but it's basically the origin story of Peter Pan and Captain Hook as well. And this one stars Hugh Jackman and Garrett Hedlund, and it just looked phenomenal. But I have a feeling they said that there's just so much competition out here that they moved it to October, and I think it feels like that is smart. Normally I get nervous when they move a thing, but I think Peter Pan doesn't fit really as a summer movie. I think they've pushed it to October for good reason. I still think it's going to play well. I can't wait to see it then. I'm just a little sad that I have to wait. It was supposed to open now, so it's going to help these two movies. One of these movies definitely needs a lot of help. Pixels comes out on July 24th. It's the new Adam Sandler movie, and I think Peter Dinklage is in it. Probably Rob Schneider will be in there somewhere. Maybe Kevin MacLeod. Not Kevin MacLeod, Kevin James. Kevin MacLeod's a friend of mine. Got his name mixed up. Must be on my mind somewhere. Anyhow, Pixels is basically a weird science fiction-y thing where Adam Sandler and his friends have to fight Pac-Man and Donkey Kong, and they come as pixelated versions sent to Earth by aliens to use against us. And the concept sounds interesting, but the trailers look absolutely horrible. Now, for video game players, this might be really cool, old-school type things. Adam Sandler really is in desperate need of a hit. After stuff like That's My Boy, Jack and Jill, he's kind of had some troubles finding his thing, his groove again, and he could really use this. I really don't think this is the movie. I think you might get a couple people out the opening weekend. I'm not going to see this. I love Adam Sandler, but I like the early stuff. I've kind of given up on him after Don't Mess with the Zohan. That was just so miserably bad. For a little drama, there's a great movie coming out that same weekend, Southpaw. It's Jake Gyllenhaal, Rachel McAdams. This looks like a fantastic movie. I'm surprised they're releasing it in the summer because it kind of reeks of Oscar potential. Jake Gyllenhaal plays a boxer who basically, you know, his life gets screwed up a little bit and falls apart, and he has to try to win his daughter back. I'm a fan of boxing movies. This looks really good, and Jake looks like he's in top form, acting and body-wise. He's back to Prince of Persia, which, you know, a lot of people don't want to remember, but boy, his body looks so great in that movie. On July 31st, another franchise comes to life. Sorry. Two franchises come back to life. Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. Tom Cruise is back doing all his crazy stuff. Last time he was climbing a building and that was really him. This time he's hanging off the side of a plane. I have to give Tom Cruise credit. He certainly has gotten mileage out of this. And this franchise does really well. And they must be confident in it. Because this was supposed to open up in December. And it literally got pushed forward, which does not happen too often. So they really have some confidence in this movie. I have only liked certain ones of the movie. In fact, really, I only liked the first one. But I will go see this. I've seen all the ones in the thing, even though I haven't been the biggest fan. But, yeah, I'll be there. I keep going to these movies in the hopes that they're going to get better. I thought the last one wasn't too bad. It was just crazy, bug nuts. I think it was Ghost Protocol. It was just over the top, ridiculous. I laughed all the way through it, but it did entertain me, so at least that was better than 2 and 3 were. I liked the first one because it was just kind of the closest one to the actual series, but they have confidence, and Tom Cruise in the trailer is looking really good. For a man over 50, he is in incredible shape, and I like that he keeps taking chances on these movies. And so I think Mission Impossible will probably find an audience. Also on July 31st is another franchise that's getting another sequel. It's right now called Vacation. I wouldn't be surprised if this movie gets pushed away from the summer. I think it's a perfect summer movie. It's a continuation, of course, of all the Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo movie that follow the Griswolds on adventures. This time around, we see a grown-up Rusty, played by Ed Helms, and his wife and his two boys, heading off to Wally World again. And it looks promising, but this is one of the summer movies. It doesn't have a trailer out yet. It's coming out in just a couple of months. We see nothing of it. Other people in this movie, Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo are back playing Clark and Alan Griswold. Christina Applegate's in this. Chris Hemsworth. A really great cast here. I'm looking forward to it. I think it'd be very fun and nostalgic. But the fact that we've seen nothing from this, I get worried that they're having some trouble or they're not confident about this. So I wouldn't be surprised if you hear later on that this movie is moving to next summer or straight to DVD, I'd hate to think. But for the meantime, if it comes out, I'm going to be there because I like those nostalgic movies, and especially if it looks funny. I know some of the Vacation are hit and miss. I love the first and the Christmas one. European Vacation was sort of amusing, and Vegas had very little amusing. But, you know, I like the idea of Rusty being grown up and seeing that he has the same troubles as his father did. Heading into August, we're starting to see the end of movies, but we kick off with probably one of the last really big movies of August, Fantastic Four. I like the original two Fantastic Four movies. I don't think every hero movie has to be dark. So I kind of like that they played with this those a bit and made them light and they were family friendly and stuff. The new Fantastic Four looks really good though. The trailers have won me over. This is Miles Teller, Jamie Bell, Michael B. Jordan. Mira, I can't remember her name, but it looks really good and put together. I'm going to give this one a chance, even though I've been skeptical about it. On August 14th, we will see The Man from U.N.C.L.E. with Henry Cavill and Army Hammer. This is based on the old TV show. I really don't know much about the TV show. It looks like it's a really cool spy thing. The trailers aren't too bad for it. I am kind of looking forward to it. Also on the 14th, we're getting a biopic of the rap group NWA. It's called Straight Outta Compton. Saw the trailer of this. This looks phenomenal. I know their music. I don't know a lot about them, so I'm actually going to be quite fascinated to see this. It looks like they really put some love and effort into this movie, so I'm going to be there. And on August 28th, which I always get leery when they're throwing movies right at the end of August because, you know, college kids are going back to school, kids are getting ready to go to school, people just want to have their last summer barbecues and parties, so they usually, it's a dumping ground, and I always feel when they go right at the end of August, it means we have no confidence in this movie, or they're hoping for a hit. They actually have one big action film to wrap up the summer. It's Hitman Agent 47. Rupert Friend and Zachary Quinto are in this. And quite frankly, they've tried to do... This is based on the video game of the same name, Hitman. And they have did a movie about this in Hollywood a couple of years ago with Timothy Oliphant, which I thought was just absolutely horrible. I want to stay away from this one because of the fact that it's at the end of the summer. I don't think they have confidence. But the trailer looks good. It looks phenomenal. That being said, I've seen a lot of crappy movies that have had good trailers. I've also seen a lot of great movies that had a lot of good trailers. So I might give it a chance. And by then, you're either seeing movies that you liked from the summer already, or you're getting ready to like the Oscar movies of the fall. Anyhow, that's a look at the 2015 movie preview. I hope you enjoyed it. The segments were a little longer, but I tightened it up a little bit in the middle. Because I love talking movies, and I hope you get out there to the cinema. I know summer is about spending time in the sun and with family and friends, but we all know we all need a movie break. I hope I've helped you find some of the movies that you might want to go see. Definitely check out the trailers on all of these, and they'll form your own opinion. I've loved doing this movie special, and I will be back next week with a brand new episode, and I look forward to talking to you all very soon. Take care.